T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Here's a 2-on-1. Donskoy. Kane. Donskoy. Score! The Don Father with his first goal of this series.
Randy Hahn with a call on NBC Sports. The Don Father will join us for the very first time in the show's history. Write it down. Call a Sharks fan. Tell your pals. Jonas Donskoy, 420. Perfect. You can get yourself in the right mood.
I'm ready. I'm excited.
I am too. Jonas Donskoy is going to join us today after a rousing win for the Sharks last night.
Donskoy!
Speaking of rousing wins, you got one out of the Golden State Warriors, too. Welcome. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for hanging out. What do you know? If you're a Bay Area team who played a game last night, you went home a winner. A's, winner. Warriors, winner. Sharks, winner. Chicken dinner. Everybody went home happy and to bed last night, satisfied. Fantastic. I like when the Bay Area is a happy place. Very happy sports place, and we've got an awful lot to get into today. The Warriors have taken two from the San Antonio Spurs, and I gotta tell you, San Antonio, specifically LaMarcus Aldridge, was much better in game two, and the Warriors still won that game pretty easily. It was a game that no doubt, a week or two, that effort, you lose. Those efforts are gone. Hopefully not to return till next regular season. Maybe not even then. Look, here's the deal. When it comes to the Golden State Warriors, straight up, no one can match their talent, and no one can really match their intensity level when they're taking their cues from Draymond Green. He was fantastic last night. Klay followed up his brilliant 11-for-13 shooting day with another very good performance, hitting 12 of 20 shots. Durant sparked that decisive third quarter again. He had 32. Again, Klay had 31 and 5 assists. One of the funnier things that I saw on Twitter last night was like, 5 assists for Klay Thompson? That's a Klay Thompson triple-double. Very, very good. We got so much for you today. How about Andre Iguodala? Failing it from downtown.
Double team pass to McGee to the corner to Andre. He's open, lets it fly. Three ball, left corner pocket for Iguodala, and the Warriors take a 1-point lead.
Very, very nice. Probably shouldn't get used to too many of those.
Looney with an offensive rebound. Finds Andre for an above the break three, and it's good from the right wing. Kevon Looney paying off right away. Hitting the offensive glass, and it's 12-8 Warriors. Iguodala with two triples so far.
There you go. Two triples. That's got to be it right there, right?
Klay to the far side. Harassed by Danny Green. Ball deflected. Goes to Andre. Andre then feels hot. Fires and hits another three. Iguodala started the game hitting all three of his threes. Gets a low five from Steve Kerr as the Spurs call a timeout.
Phenomenal. Andre Iguodala. Okie doked us for an 82-game regular season. Only to be ready to go, in which case no one really cares. No one's mad. No one's upset that he is now playing very good basketball. You know, the Warriors, they really are. They're more of a team. They're more than just a team. They're a feeling that you get here in the Bay Area. You know, throughout the day, me, Albie, Elena, Gianna, we all send emails to each other like all morning long to talk about what we'll be talking about and going with on the show. What sound do we need? What are we thinking? And, you know, Elena wrote something down today that I almost took verbatim because I forget to talk about this stuff because I get so caught up in who's available, who played well, and who missed a rotation, and who's not having a good game, who is having a good game, that sometimes I can get so deep, Gianna, into the forest, I can't even see the trees anymore.
Right.
The Warriors are playing with joy again. Joy. Let me hear an amen. Joy. The Warriors really are. They're playing with some joy again. And when Oracle starts rocking like it is, you know, real emotions become contagious. And this team's basically the flu virus. It can infect anybody. Anybody who sits around watching. When they have fun, the fans are having fun. It's really fun to watch. Oracle is rocking. Your living room is going crazy. If you're out at the bar is totally leaning in, committed, diehard.
It's that energy, that electric feeling you get.
Everybody invested. Possessions which are just, you know, don't worry about that possession. There's another one coming in 5 seconds. All of a sudden, what seems disposable becomes incredibly valuable. And it's just, it's great. It's great. Sharks, phenomenal night. Warriors, great night. Kawhi Leonard, still nowhere to be seen, which is really, really weird. You know, we've got Jonas Donskoy coming up at 4:20 today. We're going to have Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We got a late note that Steve was going to join us today. The idea had been that he was going to join us on Friday. But he gets to join us today to talk about this team and all that's going on right now. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta. Mark Medina is going to stop on by. And before you know it, we're going to get you out to a little A's baseball tonight. That is gratis for those who signed up during the offseason for their ticket promotion giveaway. I heard they're expecting 50 to 60,000 fans tonight. I really hope they get it. I hope the weather continues to cooperate. No rain. There was a little rain last night. I know they didn't have much of a crowd last night. Hey, White Sox will do that. And the fact that you're giving away tomorrow's game for free pretty much sabotaged your sales for Monday's game.
That probably didn't help.
So I'm not going to even bring that up, but I've got a great story about the family that won Diamond Club seats here on the show. A great story. They were so taken care of by the A's last night when it started raining. They had a little kid. Great customer service.
That's good to hear.
I love good customer service for the good people. Damon, yesterday I texted that I was going to my first ever Sharks game. Unbelievable. Yeah, you got one hell of a game to indoctrinate yourself into SAP. Donskoy scores his first goal. And then I get to tune in and more Donskoy? It's pretty amazing.
Donskoy!
So since he's coming on the show today, are we going to have an over-under on how many times we're going to hear Donskoy today?
What's the number?
I'm going to keep track. Going with like 15. At least 15 times. More?
Dude, I'll hit that over right now.
Donskoy! 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 Donskoy!
Okay, so 25.
Donskoy!
I can meet you there.
Donskoy!
I'm like trying to keep up with the tallies here.
Donskoy! First name Stephen, last name Curry.
Donskoy!
You never know when it's going to happen. I'm telling you, man. That was a fun hockey game last night. That was a high-caliber NBA playoff game. LaMarcus Aldridge was really good last night. When's the last time you said that? LaMarcus Aldridge wanted to go out there and kind of beat the Golden State Warriors by himself. And for a minute, he came close. But then the Warriors, their collective effort, their collective emotional effort, their investment in that game was just too much for San Antonio to overcome. And now the Warriors are in a really weird situation where they're going to have to go and overcome, obviously, the Spurs and the Spurs on-court effort when they get to San Antonio. But one of the things that might trip them up just a little bit is I guarantee you, Gianna, I'm just going to play a little prognosticator here.
Okay.
You're the San Antonio Spurs. You're a San Antonio Spurs fan for the last 20 years. You've been a San Antonio season ticket holder for 20 years, which means you've gone to the playoff every single year you've been a fan or a customer. You know what basketball excellence is. It used to call San Antonio home. You have been a golden standard of this league for a very, very long time. You have to know a thing or two about excellence if you've been a Spurs fan for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You have to know a thing or two about basketball realities. And I think you'd have to know without any more evidence really necessary to be submitted that you're not getting out of this series. Spurs aren't getting out of the series. They might get a game, but they're not getting out of this series. You can forget that. It's not going to happen. How excited are you to go to Game 3 as a Spurs fan knowing all of that? How much noise are you going to make on Thursday night? How unhinged are you and your buddies going to get at happy hour to walk into a game where you know, hey, maybe we win the game, but we're definitely not going to win the series, and that doesn't cut it here in San Antonio anymore? I could see it being a really weird atmosphere in Game 3, and that's something that the Warriors are going to have to overcome. There's no doubt that they feed off of energy, the energy that's provided to them by Draymond, by Oracle, when Klay starts knocking down threes, by Andre Iguodala. You know, who is the bell cow? Who is the bellwether warrior? Look at it this way. How can you be a Golden State Warrior who's not playing as hard as possible if tonight Andre Iguodala is playing as hard as possible? Like, that is the sign that we got to get up and run fast if there ever was one. So for a team that's just absolutely feeding off its own emotion, don't be surprised if there's a little bit of an emotional gap when you get to Game 3 between the crowd and that team. The Warriors are going to have to bridge that. We are really excited. Gary St. Jean is about to join us right after the break. We're going to say
hello, fellas,
to that guy, Tony Bruno. One of our favorites coming up at 4 o'clock, 4:20, Jonas Donskoy. He's going to join us here on 95.7 The Game.
Donskoy!
We have our Dancing Donskoy bobblehead ready to go. We got a little 5 for 5 today. Steve Kerr comes up at 5 o'clock. Tuesday Trifecta at 5:30. Mark Medina at 6 o'clock. And the 50th anniversary game for the A's coming up tonight here on 95.7 The Game. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a fun one. And I hope you plan on checking out the Damon Bruce Show. It's going to be so
Dunsky
this afternoon.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's great to have you here. We're going to get to Gary St. Jean in just a second. We don't do a lot of requests, a lot of shout-outs, but this one motivated me from Sabrina saying, hey, Damon, could you do a loyal listener a favor? My sister is recouping at home, major surgery.
Aww.
She's a total Sharks chick. On my request, she has your show dialed up at 3 o'clock every day just to hear Donskoy and your mini recaps. Her name is Trilby, and good luck with that. Could you give her a shout out? You and Gianna rock, by the way.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you, Sabrina. And Trilby, we wish you the very best.
Yes.
We wish you a very speedy recovery and a very happy
Donskoy
in your life. I hope everything is going well for you, and thank you so much for listening. We're about an hour away from saying hello to Jonas Donskoy. We don't have to wait that long to say hello to my next guest, Gary St. Jean. Good enough to join us here. You, of course, catch him on the Basketball Hour. He's part of NBC Sports Bay Area Warriors coverage. You see him behind the desk, and boy, the Warriors look pretty good from behind that desk now than they did a couple of weeks ago. St. Lee won. What do you think, other than the fact, like, hey, it's the playoffs, like, what do you attribute the fact that they've turned up their defensive intensity to? Mindset? Is it Iguodala being out there? Or, like all things usually on defense, it flows through Draymond Green?
You know, Dame, I'm going to go all of the above. I guess that's E on your multiple choice questions. I think the insertion of Andre Iguodala into the starting lineup was a great move by Steve and the coaching staff. With San Antonio, with young point guard and Murray, Parker getting older, they really don't have a blow-by point guard. So you have the ability to just contain the ball in front of you, contest it, switch everything out front, 1 through 4. I thought JaVale McGee, you know what? We got to note the fact that we've gotten off to very good starts when he starts. And that's been the case. And then the big three, I think they've really taken their game up to playoff level. And bench guys have done a good job. So overall, great focus, follow the game plan, great energy, the defense. And it doesn't hurt that Kevin and Clay are making a lot of shots.
Yeah, no, that's always a helper. If you can get some shots knocked down for you, a whole bunch of NBA teams start looking like they're coached by brilliant men with fantastic talent all around them. Knocking down shots goes an awful, awful long way to making everybody look good. And I'll tell you right now, Clay Thompson, he is knocking down shots. I don't think I'd have to go through the box scores and throughout his history, but I don't think Clay's ever started a series as locked in as he is for this one.
Dame, you know, I'm going to give him high praise. For me, when you get to the playoffs, the great players, the game can slow down for you. You're just got a lot of young guys running around like chickens with their heads cut off. He just did whatever he needed to do in a situation, whether it was a coming off of a screen, whether he was fading or curling or whatever. He used his pump fakes well, so he had a lot of mid-range stuff. We see what he's done from three. I mean, it's off the charts, and I don't know that we've seen him play better. His usage of the screens, to me, I'm going to go way back. He's reminding me right now a little bit of Chris Mullin. You know, the old thing, don't be in a rush. Don't be in a hurry. You know, just read what's in front of you. The defender's going to tell you what to do, and he's just doing a beautiful job.
Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. In all your basketball watching days, who drops a more casual 32 than Kevin Durant?
Well, you know, I guess what I'd say to you is he just scores in so many different ways, every conceivable way.
And it's effortless.
They
he
run,
makes it all look effortless.
Dame at point forward with a 7-foot guy, and as soon as Gasol came in the game, when Powell came in, they brought his man up in the pick and roll. He had to guard him. Kevin's eyes got big because, you know, Powell's getting toward the end. He gives him a couple dribbles, and he kept finding open space off the bounce. Then they sometimes put him down on the box against the mismatch. Then they put him on the elbow for some ISOs there. By the way, he got out in transition. He made some threes. He had 5 or 6 assists. Just tremendous, tremendous play.
What kind of level of worry should we assign to David West, who rolled his ankle last night's game? When he's been on the court, he's been a pivotal player for the Warriors. He really helps them at center in depth. If he's not ready to go in any way, or if he's hampered in Game 3, what could that mean for Golden State?
Well, the good news is they've got a lot of bigs. And, you know, who knows? You may press Zaza into play. Maybe you play the young guys at Bell and Jones, who've hardly played at all. But son of a gun, McGee's been so darn good, you don't want to take him off the floor.
Really?
I was telling the story that in Nelly's days, a player would get on a roll, and he'd get really tired. And he'd put his hand up, and Nelly would immediately, for a sub, Nelly would immediately turn around and look the other way. And then the guy would start yelling, and I need a sub, I need a sub. And Nelly'd sit down on the bench, and he'd say to me, don't even look at him. We're going to make believe we can't hear him. He might go for 25 this quarter. So, you know, when I look at McGee, he was huffing and puffing. But my gosh, he just impacted the game on both ends. Befuddled Aldridge. Didn't have a good first half last night, Dave. But then I loved the way he played in the third period. I thought he was one of the catalysts when the defense got going and they got out in transition. You know, one of the keys to playing against Aldridge when you're the big, make him run the floor. Maybe you're going to tire him out a little bit. And every time there was a defensive rebound, rim run straight down the floor. There went McGee, and I'm happy for the guy because, you know, game, we go back. He was on the trading block. He wasn't playing much, and he kept being a good teammate, cheering for his guys. He gets an opportunity. He stayed in shape. And there he is capitalizing on it and becoming a very, very big piece for this team this year.
Gary St. Jean. Speaking of good teammates, you still got Kawhi Leonard on your good teammate list?
My gosh, you know, Dame, I am totally befuddled by this whole thing. You know, you and I have watched this program for over 20 years. I go back when Pop left the Warriors. He took my place when I went up to coach the Kings. And he was here for 1 year and then went down there and, you know, eventually got to the bench. Draft David Robinson and Duncan, a 20-plus year run. And they were the model franchise. And you're scratching your head as to what the heck is really going on here. I don't know what's going to happen here. Could he be traded? Maybe. I don't know. They're turned down $215 million because the home team gets a better deal. If he goes to play for another team, it's going to cost him about $40 million. I don't understand the whole dynamics of the thing. I am going to say this, though. In today's NBA, players are perfectly within their scope to go out and get a second opinion if they want one from a doctor. If they're not comfortable with what's been diagnosed by the team doctors, by all means, give them peace of mind. Let them go out there and get another opinion. Now, what's gone on here outside of the medical world in his circle, I have no idea what the heck's going on. None. And there's a lot of people in the NBA shaking their head. But I am going to tell you there's a lot of vultures flying around. Because if he, in fact, he becomes available because they come to an impasse, holy moly, you're going to have some teams lining up for that guy because that's one of the top five players in the league.
No, you would have incredible interest from any team that's not the left at the altar San Antonio Spurs. Maybe he's already had an off-the-record talk with LeBron. He's going to get himself out of town. He and LeBron are going to be in L.A. next year.
Holy moly. My gosh, I didn't even think of that one, Dame. You come up with all this stuff. You are amazing. Now, well, as I'm saying your name, there's Damian Lillard, a replay, knocking down some shots. So two great names, two great guys. What a great idea. No, I don't like that idea because those two together, would that be a good team.
You have my full permission to steal that idea and use it as your own on Thursday night for pregame.
Wow. Holy cow.
Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
You are the best. Thank you very much. Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. Didn't think I was going to blow him away with that theory, but look. So we had Nick Wright on yesterday, right? Now, Nick Wright and I fight and argue about basketball all the time. There's not a lot of times where I'm just like, geez, Nick, you know, that makes a ton of sense, and I'm glad we asked you about it.
No, that does not happen with Nick Wright at all.
But here's the deal. Nick Wright, I really do think, has it right. So the only way the Kawhi Leonard thing is weird is if you assume he's going to be back in San Antonio. That would make this all weird. It's not weird at all if he wants out of town. If Kawhi Leonard has already, in his own mind, played his last game for the San Antonio Spurs, there is nothing weird about what's going on. And I'm trying to think, what would make Kawhi Leonard, like a team first, not me first, giving up my own agenda for the good of the team, defensive player of the year, unselfish attitude? Look, I have no inside information. This is nothing more than my own thoughts and gears turning. Don't tell me LeBron James hasn't talked to guys off the record about going to play with him in another city. I've seen it happen. I saw him and Chris Bosh both magically show up in Miami together to join Dwayne Wade. I don't think LeBron James wants to end his career in Houston. I don't think LeBron James wants to end his career in Cleveland. I don't think LeBron James wants to end his career in San Antonio. I think he wants to go to the big stage. I think he wants Hollywood. I think LeBron James is going to be a Laker next year. And I think he's going to take one more max player with him. We all assumed that that guy was going to be Paul George. Kawhi and LeBron to the Lakers in 2019, remember where you heard it first. Kawhi and LeBron, Lakers, both of them, next year, remember where you heard it first. Just throwing it out there. Is it really that hard to wrap your mind around? Kawhi's a Southern California guy. He went to San Diego State. He wants to come back to L.A.
Well, it's not weird, too, because this whole situation with the Spurs is so strange. Maybe there is a reason more than just issues with the team, possibly, that he wants to distance himself because he's got other plans.
Well, look, and here's the deal. Team doctors work for the team. Team doctors don't work for the player. You would think that in a perfect world, the team doctor will always have the player's priorities and interests in mind. Like, that's the Hippocratic Oath, always doing right by your patient.
Sure.
But here's the deal. There's not a single team doctor in the NBA who works for a single NBA player. That team's owner signs that guy or gal's check as team doctor. They don't work for the player. They work for the team. And you will never be more loyal than to the person who signs your paycheck. So for a player to go get a second opinion, a non-team doctor opinion, and we've seen player doctors and team doctors disagree over diagnoses many, many times. To the point that Kawhi Leonard, if he really did think that that was like the nefarious thing that has to keep him away from the team, like, hey, I'm telling you I don't feel right to play. You're telling me, you know an awful lot about my pain, don't you? Maybe Kawhi Leonard is just thinking to himself, I'm totally done trusting Greg Popovich and the Spurs as an organization. I don't think I'm going to go back and play for them again. But it's still odd that he wouldn't be with the team in street clothes just to support his boys. Because, look, you might go to war for the San Antonio Spurs, but you don't go to war with San Antonio Spurs ownership or its coach. I mean, sure, the coach is out there, but he ain't going to shoot a shot or play a single defensive possession all night. This is about me and the guys who got jersey numbers.
Right. To not be there in support of them is very strange.
Just the guys in the jerseys.
Yeah.
Forget the franchise. Forget the coach. I'm talking about my friends. I'm here for them. I've got their back. Nowhere to be seen. Nick Wright's idea that he is done isn't insane. Normally, most things Nick says about basketball are insane. That's not insane. That, I think, is the only way you can make the argument this makes any sense at all. Is if in your mind, you just acquiesce to the fact that Kawhi's done. He was never going to play for the Spurs again. Then this makes sense. If you actually think he's going to play for the Spurs again, this don't make any sense. Let's go to Justin in San Leandro. Justin, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, Brother Dan. What's going on, brother?
What's up?
Nothing. Just I was laughing. First time caller, long time listener, truck driver. Listened to the morning show from 6 and beyond, and still catch you on at 3.
Well, thank you. You're exactly the kind of listener we're looking for. I'm going to call you all day, Justin.
Hey, forget about it. What's the matter for you?
Nice.
But no, just wanted to say, hey, your first take or your hot take, your sizzling take on LeBron and Kawhi to the Lakers. I was thinking about that a few days ago. Not to the Lakers, but what about the 76ers? Ford and Ball morning show uptake.
Thank you very much, Justin. Appreciate it. I love the fact that you are all day Justin. Thank you very much. I thought he was going to call me for sure and let me know that somebody on the morning show already floated this idea, so you'd be hearing it here second.
Right. No,
not first.
First.
No, Justin still had the thought. He turned it into Sixers, though. Here's why the Philadelphia 76ers don't work as well for LeBron James as the Los Angeles Lakers do. Hollywood is nowhere near Philadelphia. LeBron James is already promoting his post-career projects. He's already got major projects that are up and launched during his career. He fancies himself a captain of industry, a captain of entertainment industry. And where should the captain of an entertainment industry be? He should be in the entertainment industry capital of the world.
Now it's Hollywood. It's L.A.
There are only two stages big enough to fit LeBron James remaining for him in the NBA. Really, think about it. LeBron has never played for a single marquee franchise. Screw the Cavs. Heat don't matter. Let's be totally honest. Cavs, Heat, neither will ever be universally revered franchises. Both of those franchises' biggest claim to fame are LeBron James.
Right.
You know, Kobe Bryant is not the Lakers' biggest claim to fame. Neither's Magic, neither's Wilt, neither's Pat Riley. None of them are bigger than that team. And I think LeBron has one left remaining universe to conquer. He's already conquered the NBA. He wants to go conquer Hollywood. I really think that he's coming west.
Well, he's got real estate, a couple houses.
The 76ers might be the better basketball future. I don't think he is nearly as concerned about his basketball future. I think LeBron James's basketball future is being played out already. Like it's not about team accomplishments for LeBron anymore. I really don't believe that. I think it's going to be about him leaving the NBA as set up to be a global billionaire businessman and the all-time leading scorer. I think that's how he really wants to go out. I think he wants to be the NBA's all-time leading scorer, and he'll want to do that in a Laker uniform, just like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did before, what, Karl Malone passed him up? Was Karl Malone wearing a Laker uniform when he passed him up, too? I know Karl Malone ended up with Lakers.
And he's potentially recruiting Kawhi Leonard to do the same?
Hey, got to bring somebody with you. They're going to have room to sign two max players. Who would you rather have? Kawhi and LeBron or Paul George and LeBron? This is the only bleep about Kawhi Leonard that we ever saw come across as negative. Google Pacers negative Paul George right now. See how many articles you get. By the way, if you Google any sports topic in the word negative, you're probably going to get more thrown back at you than if you Google any sports topic in the word positive. And that's something that Dan Patrick was talking about today, or, well, yesterday, I should say, on his show, and it was really interesting, and I want to run some of that by you here. Of course, we're very excited that a little bit later on today, we've got a Tuesday trifecta for you. That's coming up at 5:30. At 4 o'clock, we're going to say hello to Tony Bruno. And at 4:20, we're very excited.
Donskoy!
Jonas Donskoy. After two helpers and a goal last night.
Here's a 2-on-1. Donskoy! Kane! Donskoy! Score! The Don Father with his first goal of this series.
Andy Hahn on NBC Sports. Jonas Donskoy joins me at 4:20 today for the first time in the show's history as the president of the Jonas Donskoy fan club.
Donskoy!
Here in the United States. I'm sure there's also one in Finland.
Maybe.
There's got to be a Finnish president. If there's an American president of the Jonas Donskoy fan club, there must be a Finnish president as well. Like the United Nations of Donskoy.
Perfect.
He's going to join us today. By the way, in case you're wondering how many goals the Sharks scored last night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 goals. Same as the amount of runs scored by the A's and the Warriors when everybody went home happy.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. We got a really fun Tuesday. It's a beautiful day outside, which means it should be a beautiful night if you're going out to the Coliseum for the A's 50th anniversary game this evening. We hope it goes smashingly for everyone. I can already know that somebody's going to write a negative story about it, though. I already know what's going to happen. You know, they ran out of food. Too many people. Too crowded of a parking lot.
Something.
Couldn't get around the concourses. Didn't like all these Johnny-come-latelys. It's just the world that we live in. Dan Patrick. This is on awfulannouncing.com, written by Philip Bupp. Dan Patrick says that sports media goes negative in order to drive page clicks, and you know what? He's 100% right. Dan Patrick critiqued the sports media industry on his own show. This was last week, apparently. He gave his own observations that sports media as a whole focuses on the negative because that's what gets page clicks and views. In a general view of the industry, Patrick talked how even the accomplishment of Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double this season gets looked at through the prism of negativity. This guy only one person has ever averaged a triple-double over the course of one NBA season. No one has ever done it in 2 years in a row until Russell Westbrook just did it. And all you hear, other than how amazing it is to average a triple-double over the course of two NBA seasons, only one human being has ever done that. It's a whole bunch of memes and GIFs of Westbrook boxing out his own teammates to get the rebounds to get him the numbers that he needed to average that triple-double. And yeah, look, there's definitely something there worth discussing, but it shouldn't be the only discussion, and it should never be the main discussion, not the fact that the accomplishment of Westbrook is prolific.
I mean, that should be the highlight.
Nah. He's got to be a stat patter. That's all you talk about. Ah, he's just padding stats. Triple-doubles went from no one's ever done it except for once in NBA history to anybody could do it. It's easy. No, nobody cares. We are jackasses. We really are. Dan Patrick said, and I quote, "It feels like we're trying to talk." Excuse me. "It feels like we're trying to go out of our way with sports stories right now. Suddenly, Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double was a negative thing? Like we're really reaching for things now. Russell Westbrook, oh, he's just a stat patter. He's just a ball hog. This guy averaged a triple-double. His team made the playoffs. Don't we celebrate anything anymore?" And the answer is no. We really don't. That's how we lean now. That's how we skew a story. Think about it. It's about what LeBron James isn't, what Kevin Durant isn't. We have so much time to dissect that nobody wants to hear a positive. Nobody wants to hear a good story. Nobody wants somebody to have a compliment for anyone now. Think about it. Hot topic, hot take. Oh, you'll retweet that. You'll like that all day long. A compliment? A compliment? No one cares.
How did we get here to focus so much on the negative?
Well,
I mean, why does it attract people so much?
I really don't know. I mean, it starts with, you know, the whole news story of, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. We are attracted to things we don't like more than we're attracted to things we do like.
But I feel like it's an amazing accomplishment. I would think that would be enough to get people interested.
Right. The problem is, though, just reporting an amazing accomplishment doesn't make you, Gianna, a household name. You got to say something like, "And the San Antonio Spurs will beat the Warriors," write it down, in order for anyone to really pay attention or notice you in a world of media landscape, which has opinions and nonsense coming from all directions. So it seems like people are trying to swing in on the biggest vine of nonsense that they can to get noticed as they enter the room. And that's exactly where Awful Announcing goes in this story. The author says, "Let's face it, the easiest way to get famous and successful is to be loud, to be negative, and to say outrageous things that will likely make you look like an ignorant fool." And that isn't even exclusive to sports media. Look at politics, look at business, look at entertainment. Whatever it is you can think of, most media industries work the same way. In other words, only the squeaky wheel gets the grease. All of this gets exacerbated by the embrace debate and hot take artists who become rich by saying the stupidest things loudly and confidently. Look at Skip Bayless. Let's call Skip Bayless what he really is. He's a professional troll who hasn't been a reporter in years and is now getting paid millions by a sports network who just laid off all their actual sports writers. Awful announcing crushed this one, by the way. Look at Stephen A. Smith. He trashed Martellus Bennett this week for saying 89% of the NFL players use marijuana for pain relief. Bennett tweeted F you at Smith. And that becomes a bigger story than the point that Smith brought up in the first place. And as the story says, I'm sure that Stephen A. Smith didn't take it personally at all that Bennett cursed him out in public. In fact, I'm sure it made his week that a former NFL player was so angered by what he said that it compelled him to curse in public on Twitter. He and his network got exactly what they wanted, publicity. Right or wrong, doesn't matter. Spell my name right, publicity.
So more drama, and then the truth gets muddled in all of it. Or you don't even pay attention to what the actual story and information and the highlights are, the good stuff.
Here's the kicker, though. We're only giving you what you want. If we got feedback, if media was given the feedback, be positive, mm-hmm. be sunnier, be happier, more positivity in my sports, please, that would be delivered to you, too. Like, the media is never working against how much more of it you want. Whatever you want more of, the media will give you. By the way, that leads to an awful lot of fake news out there.
And that's a problem.
Sure is. One more thing on this, and I'll leave it with this before I get to a positive story for a change. I could write a well-researched 2,000-word article about how LeBron James is the most complete player of our generation because he not only wins games and championships, but he also incorporates his teammates, and it's quite possible no one would read that article. At the same time, I could write a 200-word post titled, LeBron James is the least clutch player in NBA history, with my only evidence being cherry-picked clips from his missing game winners, and that article, which would probably take me 10 minutes to write, would be read by way many more people than a story based on actual research with a well-reasoned take that I would spend hours on. It makes me want to peel the skin off my body. Because he's right, and that's truth. That is so much truth.
That's too bad, because we're missing some of the good stuff that could be out there, like stories about players that are making a difference or that make things happen, like Stephen Piscotty, for example, coming to the A's to be with his mom. Like, those kind of stories are wonderful, beautiful stories that's what we should focus on and listen to instead of all this negative stuff. But we're the media.
Someone here on the text line is like, hey, Damon, I'd like some positive stories about all those Bay Area victories last night. Oh, yeah, and we're going to tell them. We got Tony Bruno coming up at 4 o'clock. We've got Jonas Donskoy!
Donskoy!
Coming up at 4:20 today. Sharks win last night. A's win last night. Warriors win last night. Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock. But since I just read an article to you about how negative everything was, I want to share something positive with you. So there's been a lot of talk about what the A's do or don't do for fans who show up at the Coliseum. We've talked an awful lot about, you know, the service and exemplary night at the ballpark going to AT&T is and how second rate historically going in the Coliseum has been. But it is the personal touch that is the difference. And I got a DM. Somebody, Sunny Days, slid up in my DMs, Gianna. Who's Sunny Days, you asked? Well, I'll tell you. Hi, Damon. Hope all is well. Longtime daily listener that won the A's tickets you gave away yesterday and wanted to send you a note to say thank you and fill you in on what an amazing night it was. And I really thought that this was going to be a story about how 8 runs and a good cold glass of beer was all they wanted, and they got everything they wanted, and it was great, and they had a good time, and it was all about baseball, baseball, baseball. No. First off, though, that diamond level ticket was not only behind the plate and came with free front row parking, but came with free food and booze and, well, I took my lady, my sister, and my cousin, as well as my three-month-old son. It was his first game of any kind. By the way, the Damon Bruce Show is always thrilled to play a small role in sending somebody to their first sporting event of any kind. So
definitely.
That's awesome. We were enjoying ourselves so much, and then the rain came, Damon. As I stepped into the hallway to get out of the rain with the baby, the A's people, without me or anyone asking them to, came up and offered us our own suite. We took it so the baby would stay warm and dry, and we would be able to stay a little bit longer. Our suite was right next to Piscotty's family suite, and even his mom was in there with her hospital bed and everything. We ended up meeting all of them in the eighth after Piscotty got a hit. We were clapping together. It was pretty cool. The icing on top of the cake, though, was that the lady that brought us to the suite took us to the new tavern that the West Side Club over at the West Side Club and told the bar and restaurant staff that anything we wanted all night was to be charged to the A's. They took care of us so well. We honestly felt like the first family. We even had two flat screens in our suite and we'll be able to watch the Dubs and the Sharks win as well. One hell of a night. Wanted to send this not only to thank you and 95.7 The Game for an amazing first game for my son, but in hopes that maybe this positive story about the A's may hit the airwaves and spark some A's fans to get more active with their team. It was a ghost town there last night. I've been going to games since the 89 World Series and have never seen it as empty as it was last night. Sorry for the long message, and thank you again for the night and for rocking so hard at what you do. Sonny, thank you.
That's a cool story.
Very cool story. We wanted to share it. A positive story about the A's. I'll tell you, they sort of sabotaged their Monday night attendance by giving away Tuesday for free. I mean, who's going to buy a ticket if you only have to go wait 24 more hours and then go for free? My buddy was there last night. He's a White Sox fan, so that's why he was there last night. He's like, there are under 1,000 people at this major league game.
Ouch.
There's maybe 800 people here, and 300 are in the bar watching the Warriors or the Sharks. They're going to get a great crowd tonight. They keep on taking care of customers like that, of fans like that. There will be more word-of-mouth stories. Congratulations to the A's, their game night promotional staff. It's so cool that they hooked this family up, saw the little baby, took care of it. How often do we get to do a positive story on the A's? Not nearly often enough. So after railing against negativity, I just wanted to put that out. Mazel tov. Congratulations. Good job, A's. Keep it up. And everyone go out there and have a great time tonight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.